the pastor, he always says that. So he is off on a revival today at another church. I guess we sent him out on loan. And before we start, I'd really like to pray for him because we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. He represents our church out there, and we need to be mindful of our pastor and take care of him. And the best way sometimes we can do that is just to pray for him. It's always important to remember that every single one of us needs prayer. And so if you would just pray with me before we even start. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for every opportunity we have to serve you. Right now, Father, we just want to pray for our pastor. Pray for the spiritual ground that you have gone before, that you have prepared the way for his message. And Father, use him. Fill him with your spirit. Fill him with your wisdom and understanding and your words that will directly affect the lives of those people and the community that he is preaching in, Father. We know that all things work together for your good, Father. And then be with me today, Father. Fill me with your spirit as well, that these words that I speak are not my own, but your words, that no truth will come out, nothing will come out of my mouth that is not the truth, Father, and that you open the ears of those listening to receive what you have to tell them, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, so we've been going through Revelation, I don't even know how long now, and it's kind of hard ground to cover at times. It's what I find with Revelation, it's a real dividing ground. It's we're really separating the believers from the unbelievers. And even though there is great catastrophe and great just impactful things, that it is really a mercy that God continues to give to people, because as he makes people suffer, that's when they reach out to him. Because that's when we reach out to God the most in our own lives, is when we are going through some trials and tribulation. And God will use those things to build us up, to grow us. And really, why does he build us up to grow us? Because if you look at the salvation, when we receive salvation, why are we still here? Why not just, hey, let's get to the good part. Let's just get to heaven and do this thing, you know? But God has a different purpose for us. He made us for a purpose. He built each and every one of us for a specific thing. He put us in a specific place. And we need to be aware of this as believers in Christ, that he has a plan for us. He has, honestly, a battle strategy, all right? God does not go take ground in... He doesn't create new people, really. He takes those that are corrupted already, and he takes them over to his side. He wants converts. He wants new believers. He wants to take what Satan has taken, and he takes them back. He makes them into a new creation, and he gives us his spirit to guide us. And I want to go right into that as far as how we're made, what we're made for, and our lives and what he has for us to do. Because we all need to be very aware that God has a plan for us. And if we want to do our own thing in this life and dabble in everything that the world keeps throwing at us, it's a very big distraction. I mean, and it seems to me that it just gets more and more of a distraction. You know, we've got all kinds of gadgets that are pulling our attention everywhere. From TVs to phones, just constant. And it's just bombardment, one thing after another. And how do we keep our attention focused on God? How do we keep our attention focused on the one way instead of the broad way? All right, because we're supposed to be leading others to that one way. And so when we look at Revelation, when the pastor brings us into that, we need to understand where we fit in it. Where is the church in Revelation? What is our responsibility? As the pastor is talking about all these things happen, beasts and in the water, and then it gets somewhat confusing. We need to know what is our purpose there. What are we there for? And it's a very important to also understand that in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority. That means nothing happens without his say-so. Absolutely nothing. And so when we see calamity, and it seems to be increasing, doesn't it? As the Bible predicted, things would just feel more, and it just seems to be one thing after another after another. But know that all things are in the control of God. He has it all under control. So what I want to do is just get into what we're supposed to do. And if you would turn to Acts chapter 8, verse 26 and 35. Which, actually, Jones put it up there. So awesome. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, but wait. Ha ha, I caught you. Because often in times we want to get right to the good stuff. We want to have that point. But here's the thing. Here's the whole thing. Is that God doesn't just take us right there. All right? God has prepared us. He has worked on us before that. And what I want to do is take Philip's life and just show us as an example of how God prepares us. And where he doesn't start there. He starts way back. In fact, we first see Philip back in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. And so let's go back there instead. But we're going to go back to Acts 8. So I'm jumping you around a little. I got to do my own thing here. And in Acts chapter 6, I'll read this quick little part here. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Isn't that interesting that even back in those days, they were having problems in the church? You know, there was complaints So the 12, the disciples, gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, there he is. Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now let's analyze this real quick. First of all, we're having problems in the church already. And the disciples looked at it and said, you know what? The women are complaining. And typical, they just kind of cop out and say, you know what, we're not going to deal with some women. Well, really, they have a responsibility to give the word of God. So they say, we're going to appoint some other men, but we are going to give this responsibility to the church, okay? And we're going to say, hey, you need to look for 7 men among you. 7 men who are full of wisdom and the Spirit of God, who are known to be full of it. So this is where we find Philip. To where we first start off with him. And who he is a man that has stood out among the church. All right? God has laid ground in him. And the first point is that he was ready and willing. All right? He was willing to be used by God. Because God wants to use us all. But we have to allow God to use us. We have to actually seek God. All right, you open yourself up to God to be used by him. You start looking for opportunities. They're everywhere in this world, all right, where there is always the sick, the hurting, people suffering. There's a need everywhere. Rachel's up here talking, we need people to step up to be part of the welcoming committee. Opportunity presents itself, all right? And are people going to step up and do that? That's God's plan for some people. He has a plan for everybody, and he's appointed people to do these things, all right? And so we want to be ready and willing to see what God has for us, all right? And that doesn't mean we all have to jump up on everything, but when God moves, he moves, He doesn't stay still. If you find yourself standing still, sometimes we're responsible to wait on the Lord. I get that. But there's waiting, and then there's waiting while doing something. All right, stationary people don't get much done. God likes to move in your life. He likes to change. He's a God who likes to change us into what we see as he wants us to become more like Jesus. He gave us the example, and he wants to work on us like the potter and the clay. All right, he works on us, pulls things out. So we have to be willing to allow God to do this. And that's not always easy, but it's still what God has appointed for us. All right, so God had been preparing Stephen before this opportunity presents itself. You can't always get to there. We always want to see that. But oftentimes, it starts way back here in our lives. God starts preparing you. He's not going to take a new believer and then put him up in a pulpit or something. All right? In order to know and teach about salvation, you first have to learn about it. You first have to be full of the Spirit of God, be full of the wisdom. So we want to be reading our Bibles, which is the Word of God, and we want to be full of the Spirit. So we need to be praying and being connected to God and be full of His Word. And this is how God starts to change us, because as we fill ourselves up like a vessel, I've often thought of people as, you know, we can't absorb everything. You know, there's so much. He knows that we're frail. He calls us weak, and he understands we're basically made out of dust. We are a vessel. What I think of us as is like a glove, all right? A glove on itself, a spiritual glove, can do nothing. It just lays there until the Spirit of God fills it. And when the Spirit of God fills it, it can move, it can do things. And I think we also try to do things without the Spirit of God. We just sort of, we want to go, but we don't rely on him first. And so we run around sometimes crazy, doing all kinds of things, wearing ourselves out. But if God's not in it, it's not for his glory. It's not, he wants to work through us. And we need to keep that in mind as we're doing things. The other thing is that we want to be of good reputation. Because there are certain positions that, put it this way, if you sin, there are consequences for it. And in salvation, Jesus takes the penalty for that, but the consequences sometimes remain, and we see that it affects us down the road. If we start off as sinful people and we are bad parents and we sow anger and discord among our own children, and even after salvation we seem to do that, our children pick that up, and they copy us, and people around us pick that up, and so it grows from there. And so there are always consequences to the sin that has happened in our past and in our future. And we want to do things, but those hold us back. The consequences are still there. God wants to use us, but if there are positions that you have to have a good reputation. Our pastor needs his reputation intact, unblemished, so that people will trust him, believe him. That doesn't mean he's perfect by any means, but and it's unfair of us to think that. But people still expect that of him, you know. And they expect that of people that are in high positions in our church to be perfect, which is totally unrealistic. We're not that. But yet people still do that. And when we fail, they call us hypocrites, which, of course, we are. Okay, so keep reading your Bible. And also, this is another opportunity to just say, look, that's why we have these classes, too. We don't just need more stuff to do. We actually, this is about us becoming more disciples. Better tools for God. The more we put into ourselves, the more of the Word of God that's in us, the more of the Spirit of God that's in us, the more he can use us. Okay, so we need to be full of the Spirit of God and of wisdom. And if you don't have wisdom, God gives us a verse for that. James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So, wisdom and the Spirit of God. That's what Philip had. He had wisdom and the Spirit of God. So if you need wisdom, ask God for that. So be ready and willing to be used by the Spirit of God. And now we can jump over to Acts chapter 8, verse 26, because God has now prepared Philip for this point. He has, and the church has actually recognized him and appointed him to deal with it. These were the first deacons, as a matter of fact. So he got appointed to these positions with these other men. So now let's go into verse 26 of chapter 8. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, I think that's how it's pronounced, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran to the chariot, up to the chariot, and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. This is an awesome passage which exemplifies a lot of things that we as believers need to be doing. And what I first want to point out in verse 26 is that we need to be listening when the Holy Spirit calls. All right? You've already gone. We talked about first the prepared way, all right, where God has prepared Philip for this point. All right? So he's ready, and God has deemed that he is ready. He's filled him with knowledge, given him responsibility. He's been faithful to that. And now the Holy Spirit is saying, okay, go. But before we can hear the Holy Spirit, we need to be listening. And in a world of so many distractions and all kinds of things going on, how can we be focused on God? By listening. We open our ears. We tune it all out. We connect with God. We need to be ready for that opportunity. And if you're ready, God will use you. If you are listening, you're ready as well. You're waiting for it. And try not to, you know, we always want to run ahead, but God's, in that moment, it's ready. And we can see through this passage how the moment where the person meets the moment and they come together. So we want to be listening for the Holy Spirit, so we need to avoid distractions and stay connected to the Holy Spirit. This is very important for us to be able to do the will of God. Okay? So in verse 30, we need to look at is that he ran to the chariot. All right, so Philip was excited. I mean, this was his opportunity, another opportunity, because he's in there a couple verses back. So this is just another opportunity. He you know, the Holy Spirit said, go near that chariot and stay there. Philip ran there. He's ready to do the will of God. The Holy Spirit talked to him and said, do it. He did it. He ran right up there. And now, here comes the part where the Ethiopian eunuch is stuck there, and we don't really know. I've heard that he was broken down on the side of the road. I think that God just, something in his head said, this is the spot to stop. Stop. Okay? So God has prepared Philip. He's brought him to that point, pointed out the eunuch, said, get over there. Philip ran there. Now let's transition over to the prepared way. What do we know about this man, the Ethiopian eunuch? We know, according to this passage, that he had gone to Jerusalem to seek God. And in verse, this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. So, verse 27, he had gone there. Now, isn't it interesting that he had gone to church seeking God? Now, did he find him? He found a scroll. He got him a Bible. But nobody at church or the Jewish temple had explained it to him. Perhaps they didn't want to talk to him. And he was Ethiopian. He probably looked a lot different than the Jewish people. So they didn't, for whatever reason, and really the reason was that God had a plan for him over here. All right, so this is very important because it's very easy for us as church people to think we're doing our duty here, all right? But God has a plan for us actually out there. The purpose of church is that we're here to encourage each other, to build each other, to grow, to fill ourselves with the Word of God and become among believers like I am to encourage each other. Because I don't know about you guys, but I have these weeks where it's just, you know, I call it the don't wants. I just get there and all through the week I'm trudging along, you know, and it's like things bear down on you. And we need God to lift us up, but God has also appointed all of us to lift each other up, all right? So we all need to be here to constantly encourage each other and help each other grow by just talking sometimes, just being that person when you're going through a tragedy that will listen to you and give you godly advice, not necessarily just advice, but godly advice, you know, to sometimes direct your attention back to God. You're going through this, but give it to God, you know? And so we all need each other as church members, as all believers in Christ, as actually brothers and sisters in the family of God. That's who we are. And so we need to encourage each other. So the Ethiopian eunuch was just kind of hanging out there on the side of the road reading this scroll. And when we look at it, we know exactly who this scroll is talking about. But he didn't know. Understanding had not reached him. All right? And a lot of people can read the Bible and not get it. Because true understanding only comes from the Holy Spirit. And I know people that they've read the Bible more than I have. But it's like they're not connecting the dots. And no matter how many times you talk to them about it sometimes, those dots are not going to connect. For whatever reason, God has not opened their eyes. Because you never really know what you don't know, you know? What I mean is that you don't have an understanding of things if you don't understand that you don't understand it. And that sounds complicated too. True understanding comes from the Holy Spirit. Okay? Let's just give it at that. We can explain and explain and explain, but you can't sometimes understand things, and there's many things in the Bible that we have such a hard time understanding. Like, I can't understand how God is three persons in one. But that doesn't make it any less true. You know, it is the truth. It is who God says he is. And praise God for that, you know, because God the Father sent God the Son who died for your sins so that you could have God the Holy Spirit to seal you for the day of redemption. It's an awesome thing, isn't it? That we get to experience all three parts of God. And it's just awesome. But that's a side note. So we need to understand that when we're out there, we need to be looking for the people that are searching for God. And that brings me up to another point. In today's world, people are searching for God. All right? They don't even really know it sometimes. All they know is something's wrong with their life, that they are living in a life of insatiable desire. Because that's what the flesh does. It just kind of grabs and grabs, and it doesn't satisfy. Because no matter how much you have, you always want more. The flesh can never really be satisfied, and it can never give you peace and joy and all those things that God will give you. But the world chases after these things, and honestly, the world keeps throwing more at us. You know, it doesn't stop. There's always something else. There's another episode. There's another series. There's another video game. There's another drug. There's another whatever. You know, it's just a giant concoction of the same stuff that never satisfies and only leads into a darker, deeper path. And in those moments, when people have that recognition, they're looking for one thing, and that's hope. They're looking for something, some glimmer of light in the darkness that they find themselves in. And sometimes they don't even know how they got there. But they're looking for hope. In the darkness, they look to the light. And where is the light? In each and every believer. The Holy Spirit is the light. You carry the message of the gospel with you. In that moment, we all become evangelists. Because in that moment, we need to recognize that God has built us for a purpose. He has poured himself into us through his word, through his spirit. He's filled you. And through the church, he's encouraged you to grow. And so when we're out there, if we're working on somebody's house, or we're working in the community, or just walking on the side of the road, or, you know, I think the pastor told me this statistic, and I'm going to get it all wrong, but he said that if you know somebody, the odds that you're going to connect with them and spread the gospel to them are way higher than just the pastor by himself, all right? So in that moment, that person needs to be talking to you, not your pastor, all right? Because you have a relationship with certain people that, believe it or not, God has gone before you and cultivated, all right? He's brought you alongside a coworker. And you've poured, you know, you've worked on each other and harassed each other and built up this relationship that they trust you because they see your reputation, that God is in you, that there's something different about you. You don't make sense to them, all right? So they're looking at you, and in that moment, they're looking at you, and you have peace and joy, and they don't know why. What is it you have that I don't have? Because I got more than you. All right, but they don't. They just don't know it. They're bankrupt because they don't have God in their life. That's very important. And we need to be prepared for that moment because that's when the will of God comes together. He's prepared you. He's prepared the way. And here's where we go to the A-team reference. You remember the A-team back in the day when they would do all this kind of stuff and then Hannibal would say, I love it when a plan comes together. All right? All right, anyways, showing a little bit of my age now, but that's when it comes together, and I can actually just imagine God, you know, bringing things together, build you up, you to this point, the unit comes up here, here's Philip coming together, and woo, here we go, and it's not like he just steps away, no, because this is actually the time to start working. Now, Philip explains the message of the gospel to this man, okay? He receives salvation. The Holy Spirit comes in him, fills him up, and if you read the passage further, he wants to get baptized right away. Philip takes him out there. He's baptized. When the guy comes out of the water, Philip is just gone, okay? He's not even there anymore, and the man went on his way rejoicing, which I've read up on this guy. We don't know anything about him, but he was going down a whole different road, okay? That guy was going back to Ethiopia, all right, which he spread the gospel the whole way. More than that, he went on his way rejoicing. So, there's a good chance he was just spreading the gospel, all right? But what happened to Philip? All right, God had another plan for him, and that's where we get stuck sometimes because we say, okay, God's used me for this awesome thing. That's great. And that's it. Now I'm done. You know, but that's not how God works because he's ready to use you for something else now. All right? So don't be stationary. Be looking for the next thing as well. God has more plans for you than just this moment. He has this moment that builds. That brings you to the next moment that builds. That brings you to the next moment that builds. So it just keeps going. And we need to always be constantly looking for the will of God, looking for that opportunity. All right, listening to the Spirit of God so that he can grow us. All right, and so we want to be prepared. And if we look further along in the passage, we find that in Acts chapter 21, verse 8, that Philip has now earned the title Philip the Evangelist. I mean, as far as I know in the Bible, nobody has ever gotten that title. And that's his name, Philip the Evangelist. Paul or somebody's going to stay with him, and they say, I went to stay at the house of Philip, the evangelist in Caesarea. And what we also know is that he was living with his four daughters that prophesied. So now this is the last point I want to make. The life that we live here impacts our children. The life we live impacts those around us. Sometimes those closest to us, the people that we really want to impact, God will use us to impact those people. They watch us. They learn from us. They copy us. The odds are better that your children will follow God if you do than if you don't. And so sometimes we need to understand it's not just us that we affect what we choose to do. It affects all those around us. We can ruin our witness, or we can allow God to build it up within us. So as I'm sure the pastor is going to go back into Revelation, keep in mind that what our responsibility is through this whole thing, what we're supposed to be doing. When the world is falling apart around us, we need to see opportunity. We need to see that we carry the gospel message. We carry the Holy Spirit. And the opportunity to give hope is there. And we need to be aware of it. So thank you for listening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your words, your message that you put there for us. This example that Philip lived, he didn't just speak it, he lived it. And he showed us what we need to do. He showed us how we need to live. And honestly, how you honor us by giving us this opportunity to bring glory to your great name, Father. I thank you for all you do, Father, for us. Be with us today as we seek you, as we have this day of rest. Be with us as we run across people and meet people. And in those moments, Father, give us the wisdom to see the opportunity that you have placed there, that you planned and brought together, that we would then have the courage to react in the right way, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.